replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockomination Podcast Show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton and Josh Rhubarb Brown.
Hello.
Was that soccer call because Diego Maradona died?
Wow. I mean,
is that why you wanted extended... to be?
Shout out. There you go. Number 10. Forever. Viva Las Dias.
I think a Cinco.
Hello, darkness, my old
Dias.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Dia? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's good to be here. It's good to be with some normal people after being back in Boone for a day.
I don't believe you. That's going to last all 3 minutes, and you're going to be whining about being hanging out with me.
No. It's good to be back and see normal people for sure. No. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Happy past Thanksgiving? I don't know. Happy surviving Thanksgiving? Is that the best way to put it? Josh did not get shot by his redneck in-laws.
Correct. Did not. Also,
did anyone from New York show up?
No one from New York showed up. People. I invited everybody from New York, and I invited several people from California on Twitter, but no one showed up. But, like, low-key, Donald Trump's a genius. No one's talking about this.
Okay.
That
came out of nowhere. Okay.
He figured out a way to keep all of our Democrat family members home for Thanksgiving. So Aunt Dee and Aunt Gwen didn't show up. It was awesome. It was great.
So everybody got along without fighting.
I'm assuming they're married to each other.
They might as well be.
Oh, okay.
They're my mom's sisters who are not married.
They're the ones
that
shamed your mom for being political on Facebook.
About 3 years ago, Mama posted a picture of them, those Mexican kids in cages. And she said, hey, y'all, just so y'all know, this picture's from 2014. It's been proven. And she posted like a link and the link was from like NBC or something. At which point, Aunt Dee and Aunt Gwen told her that she doesn't care about children and that those children are child of God. And Mama was like, I'm not talking about the children. I'm just saying like the picture was from 2014. That's all I'm saying. And then they got into this. It was crazy. It was nuts. And then I got in the middle of it kind of, and then they blocked me. But then Aunt Gwen has unblocked me and then she sends Brindley clothes, which is really cool. I think Aunt Dee still has me blocked, but anyways, they didn't show up for Thanksgiving. And Graham, my little nephew, Graham, his girlfriend is a Democrat. So she wasn't there, which is great. But we missed on Nikki's side, Mimi and Ed, they're Democrats. They didn't show up, but we like them. They're like the good.
Are these people all Democrats? Or are you just calling them Democrats because they didn't show up? Like, serious question. Are they Democrats or are they Democrats because they didn't show up?
They're 100% Democrats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just like if someone named Mimi doesn't show up, it could be because she's older, and Josh could just be calling her a Democrat for not showing up.
No, her real name's Claudia. Her name's Claudia, and and I think she's like an old school Democrat, which I respect.
Southern Democrat, yeah.
Okay. As with Ed, Ed's really cool. Ed is he's like a man's man from like Chicago and likes Notre Dame, like really cool guy. But if you're a Democrat, it's just the way things are now. So they didn't show up. It was sad. We missed them. But we had a really good Thanksgiving. We ate a lot of food. We jammed outside on the back of my truck. Bubba,
I saw the video of that. I couldn't believe you had John come down and sing for you for that segment. That was pretty good.
That was Bubba. That's John in like 20 years. That was Bubba.
Okay.
So my father-in-law Scott's best friend's name is Bubba. Bubba's like the funniest guy I've ever met in my life. And Bubba and his girlfriend came down.
Did he shoot the jukebox? That's the real question.
No, he didn't. But Bubba showed up. Bubba's already a little bit, he had a couple, on the way probably. And then he gets to Thanksgiving, and then he had a Yeti cooler in his truck with Miller Lite, and he was, just, you know, having
slip
a couple
out to the truck every now and
yeah,
again.
Yeah, and then I was actually planning on fishing, so I got my tailgate down. I'm putting on a lure from my Jackson, Nikki's little cousin Jackson's about to take me fishing. I'm getting ready to fish. I look over and Bubba is just pulling out random guns out of his truck to show Aaron, Jackson's little brother, Nikki's little cousin. So Bubba's showing Aaron these. He's like, yeah, and this one right here is a 38. Check this out, man. And then he busts out like a mandolin. And I'm like,
oh,
I'm like, where did the mandolin come from? I was like, Aaron, give me that mandolin. And I'm messing around with the mandolin. And then Bubba busts out a guitar. And then before you know
Bubba
it,
driving? What
Bubba,
is Bubba driving?
Bubba's driving like, an early 2000s.
Is he full on clown car?
No.
Like,
Bubba is driving an early 2000s Chevy Colorado. Yeah.
Okay.
And so before you know it, me and Bubba are jamming on the back of my truck, playing some Hal Ketchum. And then like everybody surrounds us. And we, for about an hour, we just like, and I can play like four chords on the mandolin. Like I'm.
What's your favorite Hal Ketchum song, Josh?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not Small Town Saturday Night, but that's the one that I grew up singing all the time. Like that's just the one that I know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably not my favorite Hal Ketchum song. I like he does one about chestnut hair and green eyes that my mom liked because she thought that song was about her because she has chestnut hair and green eyes, even though she doesn't know Hal Ketchum, but she convinced herself it was about her.
I did.
Oh, and then we went fishing. I didn't catch anything. Jackson caught four fish. I tweeted a picture of Bill Dance. He quoted it this morning. No big deal. And then we drove to Mama's house in Forney, Alabama, and went crappie fishing Saturday on Weiss Lake. Didn't catch anything then either. I caught zero fish all weekend. Nothing.
Maybe you're just not as good at trolling anymore, Josh. Yeah. Maybe that's what it comes down to. JT, how was your Thanksgiving, bud?
It was exhausting.
Did you get a lot of butt?
Yeah, well, actually, we had one, but it was from somebody else.
Is that a pork butt joke already? Like this soon?
I wasn't trying to be a joke. I knew JT had been cooking a bunch, so.
Yeah, no, that was all for, we were selling those.
Pre-Thanksgiving, gotcha.
We did hams, butts, some turkeys, smoked turkeys.
So what'd you get for Thanksgiving then?
We had a turkey. We went down to Cochran, Georgia. The wife's grandparents do a big old thing there. So we went down to Cochran, which is the whole town is like one big family. Like they're all related and they all live on streets named after like their family. I'm dying here.
I noticed.
Anywho, like
I wonder if they get the cousin test, Josh, if they're all related.
Like, seriously,
probably.
My wife's granddad's name is Jack Dykes, and he lives on Jack Dykes Road.
That's pretty cool.
That's the kind of town that you are dealing with here.
Is I gotta South ask Georgia? A question. Can I call a timeout here for a minute? I want to hear the rest of JT's story, but this is bugging me. You know how people's last names, like, they say they evolved from whatever they did, like the
Shoemaker.
Miller. Shoemaker, Miller,
Blacksmith.
Was the guy that did the Miller. Right, Smith. Right, exactly. What was Cochran?
Well, Ken, they had rooster races. They raced roosters.
Okay, I got
and
you.
So what they would have a cock run on Sundays.
Okay.
Sunday afternoon, there was a cock run, and they would have the fastest roosters from across the county would all come to the county seat. And they would race.
I wonder what the fastest one were. Were they like Bantams or were they like, Rockfords or were they like Black Roosters?
Well,
I don't
know. The
like, what was the
I know
fastest
the,
rooster?
The black ones were typically bigger than the other ones. Not necessarily faster, but they had more girth, more size. But yeah, that's where it came from.
Okay.
So that's where Cochran, Georgia and they still have the Cochran Motor Speedway down there too. So they race cars as well.
So they're all about going fast. I hear you.
They like to go fast. They like go fast. If you went first, you're last. That's what they say down in Cochran.
All right.
In Bleckley County.
So is that South Georgia?
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes southeast of here.
Okay.
That's down near Adale.
Oh, I do. Okay.
Yeah, it's a little east down there. I know you guys are familiar with Chauncey.
Mm-hmm. Chauncey. Unadilla?
No, not the Unadilla. It's more like it's down close to Dodge County, Eastman.
Yeah, it's
middle of nowhere.
That's down near Coffee, isn't it? Down that direction.
Yeah, if you keep going.
Yeah. I mean, Coffee's obviously further down, but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, it's a fun time. And I just, man, I wore my Eaton pants, which are my favorite sweatpants, and I just wear them like jeans for full comfort, flexibility.
I love it.
Do you ever have a problem with your sweatpants like that when you do eat a lot, though, wanting to roll off the belly?
Yeah, well, these are good sweat. These are like sweatpants that were full price at the Gap for like $45, which is ridiculous.
Whoa.
But I got them on the sale rack. They were double marked down for like $6.
Okay.
Got to buy them.
I was going to mock you if you'd paid $45 for sweatpants.
Typically, your sweatpants come from two places. They come from Walmart, where, you know, the best place to get flannels, sweatpants, long johns, always Walmart. Or it's the ones that your daddy got in a Sports Illustrated subscription back in the 90s, and you just got the complimentary team sweatpants that came along with renewing your subscription.
Sweet. I got you.
Yeah, so they just say Falcons down the right leg or something, you know?
Except it's probably some team you never
like. Y'all kids don't know about Sports Illustrated swag. They don't know.
Right, like you get like Buffalo Bills sweatpants because they screwed up your order.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, you know how bad I want a football phone? Like for the longest time, man, that football phone, like, oh.
I wanted
that was
to
gonna
watch.
Complete my room.
I wanted one of those like, those like fake gold like team watches or something, you know, or like Sports Illustrated watch.
I remember ESPN magazine when it came out, they would do the inflatable couch.
Whoa.
With your team logo on it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Who's sitting on an inflatable couch? Like that cannot be comfortable.
Do you guys remember just a few years ago, and they're probably still around, but do you remember from a few years ago the big craze of fat heads that went on your wall?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Those are expensive.
Yeah.
Early
on, they were not crazy expensive, though. Like, if you got in on it, like, at the very beginning, you could get, like, a full wall-size sticker for, like, $100, which is kind of crazy, you know. Now, I think they're, like, $1,000 if you get one.
They're insane.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
So, JT, what did you eat for Thanksgiving? What foods do you... Did y'all do, like, the full spread, or y'all kind of a narrowed down...
Full spread, ham, honey-baked ham. Oven roasted turkey, cream corn from M&T Meats down in Hawkinsville, Georgia. Fantastic cream corn. They just give you a big old frozen block of it. You set it in the crock pot. And it just, it's awesome. Pecan pie, which was excellent. I'm a pumpkin pie guy, but I'm on the minority here in this family. So if there was a pumpkin pie, I'd have to buy it and I'd be the only one eating it. So I was like, oh, that's fine. Pecan pie is good for me. And the best, oh my gosh, the best dressing in the world. Mm. I don't understand. Like I can go all year with turkey. Like turkey, I'm fine with, but we need to have dressing more often.
I had a
dressing
smoked
is
turkey
too dang good.
I don't know if I've had turkey every Thanksgiving forever, but, one of Nikki's relatives, her uncle Matt made a smoked turkey and it was off the chain. It had like bark on it, dude.
So smoked turkeys are tricky. Because
he did it right.
I've had a really good one, and I've had a super dry one. And from everyone I've ever talked to says, like, there's very rarely an in-between. Like, you get a super dry turkey, or you get one, you're like, oh, my God, this is the best turkey I've ever eaten kind of thing when you smoke one.
Yeah, I don't know. So, Matt's really smart. And so, like, when he, like, does something, he, like, goes all out. He's like a he's like a super smart IT guy. So I think he, like, probably watched some videos and nerded out about something and, like, bought probably a smoker just for this.
So was this, like, a full turkey, or was it just, like, turkey breast? Okay.
It was
I did a full turkey breast. I did a turkey breast. Our family, my bunch of redneck cousins, all decided not to do Thanksgiving because my aunts are like germaphobes. They're not Democrats. They're just germaphobes. But
you know what that is? I think so. There's those people who aren't Democrats, but you know what that is? I think it's a product of local news. They watch local news.
That, and we've had a few family members die from COVID, so it makes them, like, super, super scared.
I'll see myself out.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I was just saying that's part of what got them all.
And thanks for joining us today.
All riled up. Is that Chris Collinsworth? Anyway, the
So I've never cooked a turkey. I've never been the person responsible for it. And so I went and got a turkey breast, just the breast, because it was going to be my family and mom, and that's all. And so I popped out the old Ninja Foodie and looked up how to pressure cook a turkey in the Ninja Foodie. And so I brined it for about an hour, threw it in, put two onions inside of it.
Did you have the foodie when we went down there?
That's what I did, the tenderloin.
Okay.
Or I did one of the tenderloins. So I took that, put it in there, put the two onions in, put some spices in, and then I was like, you know, when I do fried chicken, I put Frank's Red Hot on it to take care of the skin flavor that you sometimes get with chicken when you're doing like fried chicken. You know how skin sometimes has like, it's just not a real good flavor. It's not necessarily bad flavor. It's just not, I don't know, it tastes oily almost in a weird way. But you soak it in Frank's Red Hot and it takes that out. And it doesn't make the chicken spicy. It just like hides that little natural oils flavor to it. Anyway, I did that to my turkey. Put it in the pressure cooker, pressure cooked it for 18 minutes, then pulled it out and let it rest. It does like a natural release on the pressure cooker for like 15 minutes. Then I stuck it in then I changed it over to the air fryer setting and basted it with butter all over and air fried it for about 16, 17 minutes and crisped the outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, fellas, it was good. I was super proud of myself. It was tender and juicy. I mean, I don't know if I've ever had turkey that was juicy. Like when you bit it, you got a little juice out of it, you know. It worked out. And then my wife made some candied yams and my mom made some homemade cream corn and some green beans. And then I had like half a strawberry cake left over from something we had done the early, about the week before. And so, had all that strawberry cake and some homemade biscuits. Well, homemade as far as I stuck them in the toaster oven. Not homemade biscuits, but they tasted like homemade biscuits.
I missed church this Sunday because I was out of town, but I did hop onto your mama's Facebook Live thing that she does.
Oh, fun.
She's fantastic.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I used to watch it all the time. I kind of can't watch it. You know how that is, like when you know somebody.
Even though she's not doing anything wrong,
she's not saying anything wrong. Just somehow, you're just like, I feel weird. Yeah. I feel a little weird. Yeah,
it's like I bet preachers' kid. Well, your dad was a preacher, right? Your dad, wasn't he? Was it weird watching your dad sometimes?
Nope, I never really had that problem with dad. I think it's because me and mom are a lot alike.
Oh, y'all are a lot alike. That's what it is. Yeah.
I think that's probably what it is. And so I probably see things in her that I don't like about myself and notice them, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. It's weird. Like, because I can listen to what she does on Sundays, and it's like, I don't have any problem with anything she's saying or the message or anything like that. I just get weirded out by it. I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, fellas, it was a good Thanksgiving. But this was the important part for me, JT. COVID canceled the night game of my Thanksgiving football. And I'm a little bitter about it. It was weird.
Yeah, I hate that because...
Like NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, they still haven't played it. It's not getting played now until Wednesday.
What game was supposed to be played?
6 days, like Ravens Steelers.
Yeah, it was actually going to be a good football game, or theoretically.
Let me guess, they canceled it because somebody got exposed to somebody with COVID?
No, somebody actually got COVID in this case. But
Lamar Jackson, one of them.
The main quarterback, yeah.
Oh, is he okay?
So far.
No, he's dead.
I knew it.
I'm just kidding, it's fine.
NFL and college football coaches just dying from this thing.
Was it Hunter Hurst who is the diabetic that has it? Hayden Hurst?
Yeah.
Isn't he a diabetic and he got it? I don't know. Anyway.
That's Adam Duvall, I think.
No. It's a football player. Anyway, he was a tight end. I think it was Hayden Hurst that's a diabetic. And
we have two diabetics in this town.
Okay, so it's not Hayden Hurst. Who's the guy that... I don't remember. Anyway. Maybe it was the. I thought it was the Baltimore.
He used to play Baltimore. He's in Hayden Hurst.
Oh, yeah. Who's Baltimore's tight end that's so good? Mark
Andrews.
Mark Andrews. My brain was totally on fire.
Mark Andrews. He sounds like a local newscaster.
Apparently, Mark Andrews is also a diabetic and has COVID. So.
What?
Are they okay?
So far, yeah. It's weird. But anyway, back to the whole point the odds of disappointing me by not having Thursday night football.
Yeah, you know what else is disappointing too is why can't one of the major conferences step up and say, hey, we're going to put something on Thursday night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why that's such a good time to watch football and have, like, I felt robbed because by 7, like, the games are over. And I was like, like, it's Thanksgiving night. I'm going to stay up drinking.
And it was such bad football games early, but you're kind of used to that. I mean, I say bad. They weren't miserable to watch, but there was some poor play in those games.
They're pretty miserable to watch. The Detroit Lions are terrible. The Dallas Cowboys are terrible.
Yeah.
I like seeing the Washington football team win because Alex Smith, the only reason I'm pulling for him, he's not a diabetic, but he did almost have one leg. So that was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, they weren't necessarily terrible to watch, but there was some bad football in them, you know.
But I love having, like, if the SEC had put Ole Miss, Mississippi State Thanksgiving night, it would have been better.
Yeah.
Than sticking it at 4 o'clock up against the Auburn, Alabama game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, put the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night.
Yeah.
And then I'm like,
Oh,
yeah, I'm in. I'm in on that.
Yeah.
Give it its own time to shine. Don't put it up with the Iron Bowl because the Egg Bowl can't compete with the Iron Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Only in Mississippi is that a bigger game. The other 49 states, most of them don't even know what the Egg Bowl is. Give it its own time to shine. Put it on Thanksgiving night.
And the Egg Bowl was so good this year, too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. It was awesome. And back in the day, they used to have wrestling on Thanksgiving nights. They don't do that anymore. They need to bring that back. You used to go, you know, get your Starcade on Thanksgiving night, see Dusty Rhodes and Terry Funk tear it up in a steel cage.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even do that anymore, you know?
Yep.
Man. That would have been something. But no, instead, I think I watched, like, Jingle All the Way or something.
Oh, you poor soul.
Yeah, it's
you poor soul.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Home Alone 3.
No, I have Home Alone 3.
I know
it's
you
not
do.
That bad.
I know you do. I was a little weirded out this week when I found out that Scarlett Johansson was the little girl in Home Alone 3, and now I feel, like, kind of creepy, like the creepy old man a little bit. It's a little weird. I mean, because I like Scarlett Johansson now. She's, like, kind of hot. And then she was, like, 7. I don't know. It's weird. Do you ever, like, have that thought, like, do you see pictures of your wife when she was 16 or something like that? JT, that was, like, 3 years ago for your wife. But, like, for the rest of us, you see, and you're like, man, I wonder if I would have thought my wife was, am I allowed to think my wife was hot when she was 16? That's kind of weird. Like, I don't know. I think I'm allowed to think that, but it also feels a little weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you guys ever have that? Have you ever had that thought process? Like, am I allowed to look back now and think?
Kind of, but I didn't think Nikki was, like, I've seen pictures of Nikki and I'm like, nah, I don't know if I'd be in on that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Cynthia was the same way. She was, like, super nerdy and had giant glasses, but. But then, like, she reached a phase where she was, like, 17, and the glasses went away, and you're like, okay, I could see the potential developing there. But then you're, like, a little skeeved out because you're like, that's a 17-year-old, and you're 37. That's kind of weird. But then I'm like, but she's my wife, so maybe it's not weird. Maybe it's just, you know, I don't know. Like, that's a weird thing. I don't know if anybody else. Maybe I'm the only person that has those weird thoughts.
Probably.
Yeah. Thanks, Josh. Appreciate you leaving me abandoned alone out there. Hey, I'm the guy that thought that still finds the scariest movie that I've ever watched is The Truman Show, because I can convince myself I'm actually on that sometimes.
That's a super scary movie. Yeah,
because,
same here.
Because I'm a completely self-centered person.
All right, have you ever
convince myself that the whole world is centered around me?
Have you ever been alone and you've thought about that Truman Show or the idea of the Truman Show? You've been alone. Yeah. And you're like, all right, y'all, if this is real, come on now.
Yes, I have done
You've
that.
Ever done that? Okay.
I've done it. I've talked to the all camera right. before.
Especially this year with, well, like, COVID and, like, masks and, like, this can't be real. This cannot be real.
Of all the television choices that people have, if they're choosing to watch Kenny eat a plate of cheese fries and drink Mountain Dew instead of watching Guy's Grocery Games, or something cool like that.
You would think, but
I mean,
but
who would be
again,
watching
JT,
that?
I don't know. I'd
watch
the
Kardashians, and it's like some kind of huge hit.
Have you guys watched Guy's Grocery Games?
Yes, it's fantastic. Did you see the episode with the old guy from Louisiana that could barely walk, and he like makes it up to one of the challenges, and he ends up like giving the guy some tips on how to cook his stuff, and he doesn't, and the old man loses to the guy that he helped out.
Oh no!
It's so good. Yes, it's such a good episode.
It's become our go-to fall asleep show, so I may have seen it.
Apparently, it was a diner's drives and drive-in.
Drive-ins and dives.
Diners, drive-ins, and dives.
There you go. Apparently, all the people on that episode of Guy's Grocery Games, he had been to their diners at one point, and they were like the owners, and they came on Guy's Grocery Games with him and everything.
Tell you what frustrates me about Guy Fieri is he doesn't take the time to bleach the little hairs on his chin to match the hairs on his head.
That's on purpose.
It irritates me.
I kind of like it.
It's on purpose.
Why? You're going to go through that much for your look. You know, develop this style. What are you doing?
Guy,
why can't you just...
Facial hair aside, Guy Fieri to me is like a dog. It's like a golden retriever. Okay? By that I mean, every now and then I'll meet someone who can't stand Guy Fieri. And I know immediately... This person is a loser. This person sucks. They're miserable.
They like cats.
They're miserable. There's no potential friendship here. I'm wasting my time with this person. They're the worst. If you think Guy Fieri sucks, I don't have time for you.
I think Guy Fieri himself is a nice guy. I think, like, I would never personally buy my clothes from Spencer's Gifts like he does.
I just like it because he does whatever. That's him.
I figured he had a lifetime subscription to Ed Hardy, and that was like where he bought all his stuff.
It's worse than Ed Hardy. It's like next level.
It's insane. I imagine for Christmas he's unwrapping a pair of leather wristbands with flames on them, and he's like, yes, and just strapping those bad boys on.
Have you ever thought though that's not actually Guy Fieri? That's a brand, and he learned how to work it. I bet
Guy Fieri is a guy you're going to run into on the beach one day. You're out looking for seashells in the morning, and the guy walks by, and you go, oh my God, you're Guy Fieri. And he's wearing like some shorts and a t-shirt.
No. He's not wearing a shirt.
Bahama hat.
No way.
He's a normal guy.
He's the southern guy that's not. I'm talking about he's got the full belly out there if he's on the beach, JT. I don't think he's wearing a shirt.
I think off camera, it's all done up for camera, and then off camera. He's just
no way, no way.
Jeans and a t-shirt. He's wearing a polo.
I do think there's a lot of that. Yeah. I don't get what people don't like about it.
I can't think of one opinion he has that's
right. Like I can understand people thinking he's tacky.
So
like his clothes are tacky, but that has nothing to do with not liking.
Y'all don't run in these circles.
I've met people that don't. I just don't know why.
I'm coming out of these circles. The people that are just like they're foodies. They're just they look at him as like the USA Today of food. The McDonald's
because he likes hamburgers and fries and
popular. It's almost like
that's because foodies are pretentious.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Here's the thing,
right?
He's tacky. You don't like him, but then you subscribe. Look, I read this magazine. All I got a subscription to Garden Gun Magazine. Mm-hmm. There is nothing more pretentious than this magazine. It's the exact opposite of Guy Fieri.
It is like a magazine about the life of Jeff Donahue. 100%. Yeah, that's Garden Gun.
It should be called Pictures of Shrimp and Grits Monthly. That's all it is. Pictures.
I subscribed for a year
bowls
once.
Bowls of Shrimp and Grits. Yeah. And it's a decent magazine.
Life in a Civil War farmhouse. The magazine. With shiplap.
That's essentially what it is. This is the holiday gift guide, and I can't wait to see how many $550 pair of loafers I'm supposed to be getting this holiday season.
That's like
no real
Brooks Brothers, 50% off Cyber Monday sale.
We like to pick on our buddy Jeff, but Jeff tweeted...
I don't think he listens anymore.
He probably doesn't. I don't care. Jeff tweeted this last week a picture of a couch full of King Charles Spaniels, and he's like, don't let Nikki see this. And I'm like, Jeff, you'll just lean into the "I'm have all the money in the world" meme, don't you? Have you ever tried to buy a King Charles Spaniel? They're like $2,000 to buy one. Like
really?
They're ridiculous. Yes, they're ridiculous.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and it's kind of like
why would you spend that much money on a small dog? Suck.
Y'all's Democrat and you're from Atlanta.
Y'all have a proper spaniel. Raleigh's a sweet dog.
Yeah, he's a Springer.
I find my dogs in bars.
You don't have usually. A you don't have a dog, do you?
That's JT? Your that's your ex-girlfriend,
I did.
JT.
I did John Howard.
John killed it. That's right.
Killed it. That's right. Yeah. He's a murderer, dog murderer.
But no, I've never paid for it. I've had several dogs. I don't think I've ever paid for a dog.
Are we talking about dogs or girlfriends again, JT? I'm confused.
No,
here.
I've found wives in bars.
Yeah. Have you paid for them?
Same.
Yeah, it costs a lot.
Okay.
The divorce attorneys are expensive.
That's true. You and your now you and your ex-wife get along really well, right?
Yeah, she was.
She actually still has your name on Facebook, right? Like her last name is still Holton. It's a little weird. Yeah,
that is weird.
I saw it on Facebook because she commented on some pictures.
That's
she posted,
a little weird,
and I was like, "That's a little weird." And then she was,
"We got a divorce, not an annulment."
I know. I mean, and then she's
she
like,
"She has the same last name as her children."
Yeah, and then she's like, she had like Facebook messaged. Wait. Posted something, and it was like, "Happy birthday to the best baby daddy that there is, to JT." And I'm like, this is a little unusual. And I'm very happy for JT. This is awesome, but it's super unusual. Like most,
I am the best baby daddy in the world.
Yeah. And then she was like, and Mallory's awesome too. And those are like, it's just not your typical ex.
We took the kids to get Santa pictures this afternoon. We went up to the toy store. And took the kids to get pictures together.
That's super cool.
And I asked if I could get a picture on Santa's lap with both of them, baby mama number one and baby mama number two, and they said, no, that's not going to happen.
Okay.
I thought it would be funny.
I do have to that is funny. I do have to ask, JT, I'm not going to out her name or anything for privacy reasons, but did her name not just like throw up giant red flags at you of... This is trouble. Like
no, that's her middle name. Her first name is also a weird color.
Okay. I'm just curious. You're like JT finds the most
Ken just turned into like Ken turns into like the curious 5-year-old all of a sudden. Like just no filter. Like JT, why?
I'm not making fun of him. It's just like you meet some girl. So this is not the answer, but you meet some girl in the bar and her name is Sunshine. And you're like, this is going somewhere because this girl is named Sunshine. You know, like that's kind of the story
Fair.
Of JT's first wife a little bit.
She was a I was a bartender at one bar. She was a bartender at the other bar across the tracks. And so we frequented the same circles in the nightlife, and that's how we met.
Okay. Well, I mean, congrats on having a good relationship with your ex. That's not very typical
Thank
in today's
you.
Society.
As a kid whose parents are divorced, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yes.
I'm 37, cool. And my parents are just now, like, being normal and cool because of Brinley.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if we're normal, but my parents are they're divorced and they get along. And that was where we modeled it at. We wanted to make sure we stuck it like them to where we could go on trips together and do stuff together. And so we do stuff together a lot.
That's really cool.
So, you know.
That's great. That's really
whole,
good.
The whole,
That's great
whole
for the kids.
Family. Yeah. So.
No, that was just the first time I stumbled across something she had commented on your post. I think I had seen it before and I just assumed she was your sister. Like, because she had the same last name on Facebook, like, I just assumed, oh, that's JT's sister. And then, like, the way she commented this time, it was like, oh, that's not JT's sister. Like, there's no way that can be JT's sister.
John was actually in town last year, and we went out to a little beer garden, and she was there. So John Howard got to meet her. And her family was there, and they all came up and gave me a hug and everything. So,
if John goes on a date with her, because I know Josh is like working out the whole relationship thing, you and John could be like brother-in-laws in a weird
way. Eskimo brother-in-laws.
Eskimo brother-in-laws. Wow. I don't know about that, but.
Oh, my God. This just got really real. Hey, John's marrying Hannah. I've already got it.
How did you connect John and Twitter Hannah?
I mean, I've been working on this for months. I just hadn't told anybody.
John's been working with Hannah for a long time. But
wait,
that
what?
Being said, that's okay. I'm going to leave that joke alone. Go ahead, JT. Go ahead, Josh. What were you saying?
Yeah, I mean, I've had my eyes on them for a long time. I've been waiting for the right time. Because John, you know, is just coming out of a relationship and everything, and So I just wanted to wait, you know, to make the move and to make the connection there. So, yeah. But they're going to get married probably next October. I'm excited.
Okay.
Fall
wedding. Did you tell us this two other times already about
Well, I take full responsibility for Savannah, but I didn't know. I had no idea. I had no clue that wasn't going to work out. I didn't know. It's Twitter. I've learned a lot from Twitter. I've learned a lot about behavior and about things. And
neediness.
So.
Okay.
And so.
I don't know where you were going with that. So.
And so I've learned a lot. And I own that I messed up with that match, but this one I'm very confident in. Yeah.
Okay.
Very excited.
What makes you confident? How old is Hannah? Do you have any reference whatsoever? Like, I'm not trying to out her. I'm just
I think Hannah's about 30-ish, maybe 31.
Oh, Josh is going to get bad DMs if that's not right.
No, I think she might be
23.
Like 23.
She's like 23. Josh is in trouble. Yeah.
No, I think she tweeted about it once. So yeah, she's I think she's based on now listen, we might be dealing with a catfish here. She might be catfishing us, but I have a pretty good feeling she is who she is in their profile picture, but she seems mentally stable.
Does it not seem like we should call it noodling instead of catfishing? Like, catfishing just doesn't really seem like the right term. But noodling makes a lot more sense.
It's great because you know how many times you go fishing, especially deep sea fishing or inland sea fishing, and you get excited because you're reeling in a good fish.
Yeah.
And then it turns out, it's a catfish.
See, I've never really had that.
And catfish are gross and disgusting. You want to throw them back.
Catfish are delicious to eat, though.
I was walking out of Wilson's Tackle Shop near Mud Creek on Weiss Lake Saturday, and they had pictures of guys noodling, recent pictures. And noodling's not a big thing. Noodling's really big in, like, Oklahoma, the panhandle of Oklahoma and, like, North Texas. But you don't see a lot of noodling around Weiss Lake.
Noodling
Bama,
feels like the more appropriate term because it's kind of like just stick your hand out there and see what grabs the bait, and you're not real sure because it could be a turtle taking your fingers off.
Yeah,
it could be a snake. It could be a beaver, and then you're in real trouble. Or it could be a catfish. And I don't know. It just feels a little like noodling. Feels like maybe it could be a better term. I'm just saying.
I like it.
You gotta be careful of what you stick your fingers inside of.
That's 100% true, JT. That's a deep, deep story. And Girls Named Sunshine should definitely be on that list to avoid. Fellas, let's talk a little bit of football. We talked a little bit already, but I feel like this is an important discussion for us to have. And specifically, it's Vanderbilt football and girls playing Power 5 football. And Sarah Fuller becoming the first woman to play in Power 5 football conference. She's a soccer player who was recruited to play for Vandy. So let me put this out there first. Yay for women.
Yes, okay. We are all girl dads.
I'm a girl dad. I have two girls. Josh has a girl. JT has a girl. For me, okay, first of all, let's just get the facts out there, and then we will dive into this deeper. She came into the game. She kicked off in the second half because Vanderbilt's inept and can't even get into scoring position for the most part in the football game, not into field goal position. So she ends up just kicking like a 30-yard pooch kick, which is a little weird. I'm not real sure why they had her do that unless she can't kick it to the end zone, which seems like a possibility based off some, I don't know, pregame stuff. She warmed up. Apparently, Derek Mason had said he would not let her kick a field goal from outside the 15. She warmed up kicking 15-yard field goals, which is like from the 5, before the game. Let me get your thoughts first before I try to, like, go too deep on this. How do you feel about it, JT?
Well, I mean, I'm glad that she played. Okay, I mean, that's cool. It's neat. It's noteworthy. And she'll always be in history books. You know, it's a cool story to tell her grandkids one day. Mm-hmm. Assuming she's not a lesbian. Secondly...
Lesbians can have kids, JT. Oh. Not sure if you knew that.
I don't know.
Not physically, but they can adopt.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They can physically... Technically, one of them can.
Well, yeah, I guess they can get like impregnated or something, right? Like,
yeah,
but again, well, just like dogs, why pay for kids when you could just find them at bars? You know, just find a baby in a parking lot, take it.
Yeah.
Secondly,
or in a cage.
There's no way that she was the, like, you're telling me in all of Vanderbilt University, there's not. Do they have men's soccer at Vandy? I don't even know if they do.
I don't know if they do. I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I'm sure they do, right?
I don't think they do.
Not all SEC teams have men's.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know that.
Soccer. Georgia doesn't have a men's team. They have women's.
I didn't know that.
Why
is that?
Because if you're any good by the age of 17, 18, you're already playing in professional
men's
soccer.
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. And then Title IX, you got to have it even on both ends.
What's Title IX?
So if you start, you have to have equal opportunity for men and women.
Title IX is a government ruling that makes it so you had to do
so if you start a men's soccer team, now you got to find equal amount of scholarships on the girls' side, so now you got to come up with a sport for them. So you can't just come up with one sport, you got to come up with two.
But if you do it girls only, you don't have to do it for men. It's weird.
Right,
okay.
Right. So that's why I see girls' volleyball and not like a guys' volleyball team. You know, like guys' volleyball, intramurals, you know. But there wasn't another option. Like, I get they wanted to make history, and I don't fault them for that. I mean, it's Vanderbilt football. They got to have something noteworthy happen to them. But you can't tell me there wasn't a wide receiver who might have kicked in high school.
They fired their coach after the game. That seems noteworthy. Like,
well, yeah, he wasn't good.
He wasn't. That being said, I don't know if they can get anybody better without putting some money in the program.
But as far as the best option for kicking the ball, the best, you're telling me there was no one else on the team that kicked in high school?
Yeah, I mean, this feels like a publicity stunt. Period. Like, yeah. That's all. Like,
so I.
People were comparing her to Jackie Robinson. Like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah.
Jackie Robinson was good.
So my thoughts evolved. So initially, it was Saturday, right? It was Saturday? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was fishing all day. I was on the lake all day. And that morning I had seen maybe SportsCenter, I don't know, tweet about it, you know. And I was like, that's cool. And I was like, and I think I tweeted it or quote tweeted it. Because I thought it was cool. Whatever. And then that night, I get back to Mama's house, and I was checking Twitter, and my timeline was basically like, it was people saying, I was really awesome, it was really cool, and then there was other people saying, all these people are pissed off because she's a girl, but I didn't see anybody pissed off that she was a girl. I just saw like, awesome, good for her, and I saw, people are so mad because she's a girl, bah!
See some angry people, but the majority of them weren't mad that she was, quote, a girl. They just didn't really feel like she deserved it. Like,
I get that.
They
felt
like she wasn't qualified.
And then Sunday, that's when I saw those people, it seems. Sunday and Monday, I saw people stepping back and being like, well, JT just said, you're telling me there wasn't like a guy that kicked in high school, you know? And then I read Jason Whitlock's column about it, and he pointed out the obvious hypocrisy of all these woke sports journalists who wanted to cancel football, you know, the other day, and now they're like, this is the greatest thing ever. And to compare it to Jackie Robinson is just ridiculous. And
the
then I
SEC
saw
the SEC made her a special teams player of the week.
Stop. Then I saw the pregame kicks, and you're right. The pregame kicks were it looked like it's totally a publicity stunt, because the pregame kicks, she's kicking little 15 yarders.
Yeah.
And then she comes in and SportsCenter, the way SportsCenter spun it was, you know, they showed it and they're like, and she did exactly what she was told to do. Good for her. And I'm thinking, why do they have her pooch kicked at, though? That doesn't make sense.
So here's my problem with it. It is twofold. One, as a guy that has two girls as daughters, I believe the number one thing that as Americans, we probably screw up most of our lives with is somebody teaching us constantly that we can do anything. You can't do anything. I'm sorry, you cannot. America's wonderful, but you cannot do anything. Josh, JT, Ken, none of us are going to be president in our lifetimes. It's not going to happen. In fact, nobody listening to this is going to be president in our lifetime, because you have to have bukus of money to be president. Like, look at it. The only people to have ever been president have had huge amounts of money. And people are going to say, but Barack Obama. Yes, Barack Obama, when he left the White House, had huge amounts of money, and because he was leveraged beforehand. You have to have access to huge amounts of money.
That's not true. I mean, Joe Biden didn't get a lot of money until he became vice president.
Oh, gotcha.
And then he started getting a whole bunch of money from like the Ukraine.
I don't remember the exact number, but do you know that of the 45 United States presidents, there's only 13 families, I think, that you can trace all of those presidents back to? They're all related because they all come out of the same money and they're all kin to each other. That's eventually crazy. It goes back to the same power structure. So, again, that doesn't matter. I'm sorry. Josh, JT, kid, we're never going to be rocket scientists. You know who is? Brave Swear Jar is. But I'm not good enough at math and never was good enough at math. I could not be a rocket scientist. It couldn't happen. It's one of those things I just couldn't be. You know what else I couldn't be? I can't be a girl. No matter how many people tell me I can be, I can't be. It's like, it's not happening. And Josh, I'm sorry, you're never going to be black. It's just not going to functionally work out for you. I know you would like to do the thin little razor and pretend like you're Sean from Twitter, but I don't think that's going to work out either. We tell our kids that we can all do anything, but that's really not true about life. So the other part is I also want my kids to believe that they don't have to live inside the little boxes that say you can only be this. Inside the cages, as Josh would put it, that say you can only, like, because you're a girl, you can't do certain things. Like, well, I'm fine with my kids challenging that. Mm-hmm. But I want them to, but this feels like super disingenuous because she didn't get to be the kicker because she's super good at football. She got to be the kicker because she's a girl who's good at soccer. Like, yeah. Let her be good at soccer. Like, that's awesome.
I agree. And like, so if you take out any emotions about this, okay, look at it or try to look at it objectively, okay? Mm-hmm. A female probably couldn't be a running back, probably couldn't be a linebacker, sure. Probably couldn't be a tight end, probably couldn't be a quarterback based on strength, speed. It's just science here, okay? But yeah. A female could probably be a kicker. They probably could. They probably
Rodrigo
could
Blankenship. He's probably as muscled as she is.
Right,
you
right.
Know? Like,
a female, if trained, in fact, my buddy Jess Hopkins, I used to be in a band with. He Facebooked me and said that, I think Jess went to Sequoia High School and they had a girl kicker and she was awesome. So yeah. It can totally a kicker can be done, but yeah, to Ken's point, I mean, you can't. You're teaching your kids you can be anything you want. That's just not true. Also, I love how I saw so many people tweeting like screenshots of tweets with dudes just saying bad things about her, you know, like she sucks, you know, hope she gets crushed on the field, blah, 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 you know. And yeah. Then you'd see people say stuff like, this is what it's like being a woman in sports. And I'm thinking, have y'all ever seen what we say to each other? Have y'all ever seen what men say about Nick Markakis or about Tom Brady? Yeah. Like, come on. Welcome to sports, you freaking snowflakes. You shut up, you know?
It's not because you're a woman.
No.
It's because you're playing a sport, period.
Because you're on the field on TV and you're going to get shit because that's life. It's America.
Yeah, because we want to, like, point out everything wrong with you, you know?
So we do. We're fans.
Again, I have no problems with a girl playing in the Power 5. Like, zero. Like,
yeah, I don't either. It was just awkward.
If there's a girl kicking 45-yard field goals and you can put her on the field, go for it. Like,
and
I'm all down.
Is.
You know, like,
that's
Trevor Lawrence
thing.
Is outstanding. Trevor Lawrence is a Heisman candidate.
Yes, she's been amazing for 2 years.
But
I will say this. I think that giving her more time to practice and prepare, I think she could put forth a much better effort.
Very possible.
Than what she showed
absolutely.
On Saturday. I
yeah.
think, let's be fair, because this came around, like, Thursday.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you give me like 2 days. Kicking a soccer ball and kicking a football are two different things.
Very,
I
yeah.
think she's got a very athletic, and she's got a
and she seems
very
really
leg.
Sweet. She seems like a really sweet,
oh, yeah.
cool girl.
It's not her. It's not her fault.
No,
it's
and
not,
so you're putting her in a weird spot because now she's all over the place. There's articles being written about her. There's people talking junk about not really about her, but about the situation, how she's being used, and it's awkward. It sucks because she sucked.
Okay,
she's
so let me put this in a different perspective, JT. On Sunday. The Denver Broncos, basically in the exact same position that Vandy was. They ended up with all their quarterbacks exposed to COVID, not able to play in the game, right? So, instead, let's just pretend that this is the Vandy situation. They find a girl named Kendall Milton, right? Hinton? What's his name?
Hinton.
Right? And she's going to come up and play quarterback. Oh, wait, it's not a girl. It's a wide receiver from their practice squad. who was a quarterback at Wake Forest in college and hasn't played quarterback in like 4 years. He came up and he completed one pass out of 10 tries. He was absolutely atrocious. But if he'd been a girl and had this same performance, it would have been like stellar, like breaking the glass ceiling, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So like, that's my problem is it feels very undeserved in one way. And on top of that, then it's like, you can't criticize them at all because she's female. You know,
well, it's a couple things can both be true.
Sure.
I'm not upset with it being a publicity stunt because it's Vanderbilt football.
Sure.
Now, if this was something that Alabama did, then I'd be like, dude, you're Alabama. Quit running it like a mom and pop shop.
Yeah.
It's Vanderbilt football. And honestly, if any Vanderbilt fans or alums are honest with themselves, they know that they don't care about football at Vanderbilt.
Right.
They just don't. And so there may not have been another option because it's Vanderbilt. And they just do not, because they only have a full athletic department. They don't care about football. So is it publicity stunt? Yeah, but I don't really care about that because it's 0-8 Vandy. Give them something to put them on TV. Cool.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Sure.
The second part of that, too, you brought the Broncos. I thought this was interesting. So the NFL doesn't have guidelines for canceling games the way college does. College says, look, if you're down to no quarterbacks, then that's a reason where we can cancel. We have certain things where if you don't have this many active guys,
right,
then you cannot play the game. Roger Goodell says, look, we extended your practice squad. You've got 16 guys to choose from. It's up to you guys to manage it and make it where you can have a team. Mm-hmm. The Broncos, a lot of people are isolating a quarterback. So even if there's an outbreak, there's one guy who practices by himself, stands alone, does his own meetings.
Right.
So that way, worst case scenario, they've got one quarterback. The Broncos chose not to do that.
Well, actually, the Broncos did part of that. And in the team meetings, they were all supposed to be wearing masks and staying the
protective
distance. And they said they had a video showed a mask incident. Who knows? Like, yes. I don't know. Did the rubber band break or something? You know, like, I don't know.
Jeff Driscoll was exposed. He was like the last man standing and didn't wear a mask because Jeff Driscoll went to Hagerty High School in Oviedo, and Hagerty's a bunch of bums. Jeff Driscoll's a loser. So that's why they had this wide receiver come in and had to play quarterback. But again, Kentucky football played with Lynn Bowden at quarterback last year, who was basically a receiver playing quarterback, and they won like 4 out of their last 5 games. It can happen. This is the same Denver Broncos who went to the playoffs with a quarterback that couldn't throw a pass named Tim Tebow. He was terrible.
Tim Tebow.
So it is what it is. I mean,
COVID's
made everything strange and everything weird. I'm just glad, honestly, at the end of the day, I'm just glad we have football on to whine and complain about.
Sure.
Even as weird and stupid as this season is, where you have the Denver Broncos playing a receiver at quarterback, you have Vanderbilt who can't find a kicker because everybody's sick, you have Ohio State is probably going to miss the Big Ten title game because they've got so many guys infected. There's no way they're going to be able to play next week.
I actually kind of love that. It's kind of great. But
that's so awesome. And, and then, even if they can get a game off this week, it's relying on Michigan to play them the next week. Who's going to stop Michigan from saying, nah, we're going to opt out and then keeping Ohio State from playing in the championship?
Exactly.
How awesome would that be?
Let me take this Vandy thing a step further, okay? First of all, I wouldn't have a problem with a publicity stunt if it wasn't being nationally passed as, like, the first girl to play in Power 5. Vandy is not a Power 5 school. Not right now. Like, yes, they're technically a member of the SEC. Technically. They can't win in the SEC, though. They're terrible. Like, they're not even remotely competitive. Not even sort of competitive in the SEC. They're not a Power 5 school. And so that's a little annoying that you build it up on that and, like, people are like, oh, yeah, it's such a breakthrough. And I'm like, it's not a breakthrough. Like, if you got a female kicker for Georgia or Alabama or Auburn and she's legit, that's a breakthrough. That means you really have broken a ceiling and now girls are just – I mean – You know what I'm saying? Like, that's different. Here's the second part of it. At halftime, this girl...
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
...gave a speech to the team telling them that they didn't cheer on their teammates enough and that the sideline was dead and that she was going to call them out because as a fellow Vandy student athlete, she was a leader and didn't put up with that, and she, like, gave this speech at halftime.
That's just take her gender out of the equation.
Yeah.
When you showed up, imagine you're on your third day at a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
and you do something like that and tell everybody that you're going to call people out and you're going to say this is how it needs to be done. And this is, oh my goodness. I mean, respect, especially in a locker room, is earned. You know what I mean? Especially in a football locker room where it's guys.
I would have told her to go make me a sandwich.
I mean, to be serious, if I did that in a locker room, right, and I did that in front of those guys, what are the chances I get punched in the face before I leave the locker room?
Right.
I mean, like, I'm 100% serious. If I did that,
well, I want to know.
There's like a 95%+ chance somebody hits me before I leave that locker room.
Well, yeah, for sure. But this is a little bit of a different situation, granted. So. Is there video of the speech, or have we just...
I would bet my bottom dollar there is video of the speech.
Okay, I want to know what the reaction was, because...
ESPN is going to have something when she wins Sportsman of the Year at the ESPYs next year. They're going to have something to roll on the big screen. And I say that jokingly, but you just wait for the ESPYs.
She's totally going to win an ESPY.
She's totally going to be at the ESPYs. She's totally going to win something. This is ESPN. They gave Bruce Jenner an ESPY because he cut his penis off. They're going to get, you know, she's going to be on the red carpet getting interviewed. And look, none of this is her fault. Like, I don't want to see what I got by hating on her, because all she did was do what she was asked to do. And it had to be intimidating, you know, to be like, how do I put these football pads on, you know? And there's TV watching me. Like, I'm a soccer player, you know, I'm the goalie for the soccer team. So it's not her fault. But to me, dude, Derek Mason, you're the one who's 0-8. You're the one who's coaching for your job and obviously didn't keep his job. You should be the one coaching up, doing every halftime speech you possibly can. I think that shows more about how much he has lost that football team.
Yeah.
And how much that football team has just quit, whereas he's just like, all right, girl kicker, go in there and you talk to him.
Well, I mean, you know, so like, so here's like a transcript of her describing it. This is Sarah Fuller's words. If I'm going to be honest, I was a little pissed off at how quiet everybody was on the sideline. We made a first down, and I was the only one cheering, and I was like, what the heck? What's going on? And I tried to get them pumped up, and I was like, you guys need to start your team on, I don't know. Anyway, my main thing was during the SEC tournament, my entire team was cheering the entire time. It didn't matter if we were in the locker room or if we were on the sidelines. I think they're what won it for us. Everybody was cheering nonstop. Okay, first of all, nobody cheering on the sideline won the game for you, just to be clear. I just went in there and I said exactly what I was thinking. I was like, we need to be cheering each other on. This is how you win games. This is how you get better, is by calling each other out for stuff. And I'm going to call you guys out. We need to be supporting one another. If we get a first down, it's an interception. If an interception happens, it's our fault. We need to be lifting each other up. That's what a team's about. First of all, if interception happens, it's not because you weren't cheering. Anyway, I think this team has struggled, and that's been a part of it. We really just need to build that team camaraderie where they can all lean on one another. It was adjustment going from the team mentality where, hey, we're all here supporting one another, and I just want to bring that to this team. And apparently she had some coaches come up to her and say, I've been wanting to say that for a while now. It all feels staged in some ways. The quarterback said, Mike Wright said it definitely helped the team. Well, that's because Mike Wright's at Vandy, and he's a smart guy, and he knows he can't say anything negative here and come out in any way with any kind of history afterwards. I mean, he's at Vandy. He's a smart guy.
Ask football players what they care about kickers and telling kickers, hey, guys, you need to get more excited.
Yeah.
Okay, easy for you to say kicker. You ain't got nothing to worry about. We're going over assignments. We're breaking down plays. Right. We're trying to focus on the next drive while we're on the sidelines.
We're also
prepping
all,
for the next time we have to be on the field.
We're also all 100% certain that we're not going to win a game this year. Like, we know
that's
that.
Another thing too.
Right, like seriously, like that we are 100% certain at this point in the season we're not going to win a game this year.
So I can see, if I'm on Vandy, I want to see the video, because it depends on if they bought into it or not. Like if cuz people, I mean, there's like a religion going on. If you bought into that religion and it's halftime and you bought into that narrative, like, you're getting pumped up. If she comes and like chews your butt out, you're getting pumped. It depends on where your mindset's at, man.
Even if you feel like, God, it okay. So for me,
I mean, I
want to
poop on it
Vandy
too. I think it's silly.
For
she
me,
had no business.
If, no, I understand what you're saying, but for me, if I'm a player on Vandy and I see them pull this obvious shenanigan of attention seeking publicity stunt.
You would. I would too.
For the girl than for me.
It depends on where your mind's at.
I would just be, I would find this complete, I would find this entire thing insulting.
If you've bought in, if you've bought into the religion of wokeness.
Yeah, yeah, sure, sure. I, like, I'm not disagreeing with you, Josh. Even if you like her speech, as a player, you have to think this is insulting.
You
like,
have to think that.
Our team sucks so bad that we got a girl that can't kick 15-yard field goals, and she's like the best thing anybody knows about Vanderbilt.
No, I agree. Yes, but we're talking about a belief system that doesn't think. So
listen, those Vandy players are looking towards January when the one-time transfer rule will go into place, and they could be out of there with no repercussions.
Yep.
Those coaching staffs, the coaches that said, oh, I've been waiting to say that, their resume has been flying all around for the past month because they know they're on a sinking. It's Vanderbilt. They're on a sinking ship.
It's anchored down, yeah.
Yeah, right. And so, no, look, you want to get a hip, hip, hooray, everybody? Do that in the preseason. But once you're staring at 0-8 on the season and you're looking down the barrel of a winless year, quit with the hip, hip, hooray stuff.
Yeah.
That now is not the time of the play. You know what I mean?
Also, to be fair here, Josh, if you're a coach on that team,
yeah,
what can you say negative here?
Oh, you can't. You're done. That's what it's a religion.
Oh, you're done.
We're talking about
something much. You can't say this girl should have shut her mouth and sat in the corner. Like, you're dead if you say that.
We're talking about something much deeper than the football here. Yeah, yeah. If you say something, you are canceled. You're done. You're the worst.
Oh, yeah. You'll never get another coaching job. Like, no. It's over.
Nope. Yep. Maybe the only coaching job you'd get is at a private Christian high school. That's it.
No.
You could probably be an assistant for Saban or something, but if you're planning to get a small school up north somewhere, that's going out with the bad. Yep.
There is precedent for this when a girl named Katie Nida
was a
kicker at Colorado, and Gary Barnett, the coach, went off on her. Now, she had made, she had filed suit against the school for sexual assault claims and stuff like that. It's a pretty nasty, you know, story.
Yeah.
And I don't know all the details, so I can't speak on all that. But I remember the press conference where he was outside the academic building or the athletic office, and I remember him saying, first of all, she was terrible. You know, she was a terrible kid. And he just looked like the worst person in the world.
Right.
It's like, well, she was on your team. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
If she sucked, like, you're the coach. That's on you. Like, you know, like, why are you bringing crappy players into your team, coach? You know?
Yeah.
Evaluating talent is part of the job.
Right. There's no way to get out of this with any sort of positive spin.
And Gary Barnett looked like the biggest jackass in the world after that. Because it's just like, you know, what a terrible example he said.
Even if it was true. Even if everything he said was 100% accurate. You lose the PR battle before you ever even open your mouth.
Right, you know? Right. Like, you can't say, like, okay, DeJuan Mathis just transferred from Georgia.
Yeah.
Started the game as Arkansas, did not look good all year, and now with the emergence of JT Daniels, he sees the writing on the wall. Kirby Smart has nothing to gain by saying, well, you know what, DeJuan was terrible.
Yeah.
So we're glad he's gone because he was not a very good quarterback this year.
Yeah.
Now, he may think in his head, man, that kid sucked and I wish he had played better.
Yeah.
But you know exactly what you're going to get out of Coach Smart. He's going to say, well, we wish him the best in his future endeavors. He was a great teammate here, and we wish him nothing but the best in the future and hope he does well. And that's it. And that's what you say.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, look, maybe this girl comes out. Vanderbilt plays Georgia this weekend. Maybe she comes out and goes 3-for-3 and nails a 45-yarder and, you know, really impresses us. Because
what, I
mean, she's got talent. She's got athletic ability.
We'll kind of wind up with this. But, like, is that the way it should be? Or is that an indictment on our media? Is it an indictment on us as consumers? Or is it exactly how it should be? Like, should that be the only appropriate response?
I don't think it has to be. I think it's an appropriate response, and it doesn't have to be a dishonest response. Just because you may think bad things about somebody doesn't mean you have to share them.
No, right. I agree.
Because you can also say, hey, I wish him the best in the future.
Yeah.
You know? And that.
But,
you know,
but take it to this thing where coaches are obviously, I mean, okay, so maybe I'm assuming here, but I have to believe that a coach on an 0-8 team thought this was gimmicky. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Oh, sure. I'm sure not everybody on the coaching staff was on board with it.
Right. And so when there's coaches going up saying, I wanted to say that all year, or different things, that feels very not realistic. Like, even asking the quarterback there at Vandy, like, what did the speech help? And he's like, oh, yeah, it helped. Like, what else is he going to say? Like, you know.
Oh, it helped. We didn't score today.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly.
They scored this many points.
I feel like that's a bad place for our society. And obviously, this is sport, so at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. But it kind of sucks to live in a society where people are now afraid to truthfully answer questions that probably should be truthfully answered. Like, there's times and places that you shouldn't embarrass people and say mean, you know, say things that are just to be mean-spirited. You know, that's not what I'm saying. But it does feel like there's a time where we're truly trying to break something down. And, well, like, okay, so, Josh, you brought up Jason's column about this girl. Did you see the responses to Whitlock, like, calling him a chauvinist and a pig and all this kind of stuff? Like,
no, but I fully expected that, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't have an opinion that disagrees with groupthink anymore.
You can't.
Without being a terrible person.
Oh, but you can't. Right. But that's the thing. That's their niche.
It is for sure.
And so for just the same thing that, hey, Vanderbilt knew that they'd garner good publicity from doing this, having the female kicker.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin of that is guys like Jason Whitlock knowing, hey, I can go against the grain. I can swim upstream against the story, and I'm going to get negative reaction, but that's publicity too.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So I'm going to get a hit. 100%. So as much as the Vandy kicker was a publicity stunt, the Jason Whitlock article about the publicity stunt was also a publicity stunt.
Yeah.
He's trying to stand out from his peers just the way he
is. Yeah, but the weird place is now that's a super cynical way that we now have to live our lives, where we assume everything is a publicity stunt and nobody has an honest opinion anymore.
Oh, in sports punditry, I don't believe anybody's had a real honest thought forever. I mean, Skip Bayless makes more money than any of them. I don't think he believes anything he says.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but people see his bank account and they realize, hey, you don't have to actually believe your opinion. Peter Burns today on ESPN argued that Vanderbilt is a top five job in the SEC. There is no possible way he actually believes this.
No
truth
way.
But, does not matter anymore.
But see, I think that's okay. So I don't know if I'm just cynical, but I think some of these people are now convinced they do think that, JT. Like, they have truly convinced themselves in this insane world that Vanderbilt's a top five job, and that, you know, I mean, like, I truly think there's some idiots that have gone so far over that they will just say anything.
But
they now believe it. Like, it's like they've lied so much, so now they believe their own lies.
There is so much competition out there. You see it in the political world all the time. You see it in the sports world because there's so much competition. It used to be SportsCenter was the only show in town.
Yeah.
It ain't that way anymore. You've got all the shows on The Ringer. You've got Barstool Sports Network. You've got The Athletic. You've got Fox Sports 1. You have to stand out to get noticed. You have to say ridiculous things to get noticed. You have to start female kickers if you want to get noticed because you're Vanderbilt, you know. But maybe that makes Vanderbilt stand out a little.
I don't even know if it's like we need to do this crazy thing to get noticed as much as it is, because it's such a groupthink thing. What they did Saturday, starting Sarah Fuller, wasn't this out of the box, got to do this crazy thing to get attention. It was actually what every woke person wanted. So it was almost like
creative.
It was almost it wasn't creative. It was almost like just doing this thing that everyone wants us to do. It was akin to walking out with a Black Lives Matter t-shirt on right now.
And well, here's what it'll do. It'll get Vanderbilt on ESPN a lot more than Vanderbilt football justifiably needs to be. It'll get them on people's television sets. It'll have people from Vanderbilt being on the Paul Feinbaum show.
You're right. You're right about all that.
And when you're Vanderbilt, you have to get any publicity you can in order to try to possibly compete in the SEC.
Vanderbilt's
not a top five SEC job. They're probably not top five in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just don't know if they even thought that far. I really, just because of the culture and the climate right now, I almost think that it was just this thing that they did because it could have been any school right now. That's the way I see it.
I think we now live in a world where uniqueness is defined by conformity. The more you conform to what everybody expects, the more unique you are. Like, right. In their minds. Like, like Vandy did exactly what everybody wants them to do, so they're unique, you know.
Can you imagine a scenario where somebody from ESPN talks to Nick Saban and says, hey, it might be a good idea to maybe take a girl from the soccer team. You know, that'd be good exposure for Alabama if you guys would. And he would look at that person like they farted in church.
Do you know that person would never get to ask Nick Saban a question ever again?
Right.
Like they would be like, you are barred.
He would look at you like, I don't give a damn what people think about Alabama. We're going to put the best players on the field. And so I think there is some of that where I don't think this could happen at many schools. Vanderbilt is one of them. Part of that is that Vanderbilt football team, they don't need to be cheering. They need better players. The only thing that's going to help Vanderbilt football is getting better football players to that school. That's the only thing.
Josh, I will say this, and JT, I'd like your opinion on it as we close. Josh, I think there's a chance that you're going to be a sad fella within the next month because I think there's a chance Vandy tries to hire Sean Clark from App State.
Who is Sean Clark?
The head coach at App State.
Oh, I don't even know who that is.
I don't know. I don't know I don't know how serious they are about cutting the check and spending the money. He may have to take a pay, and I don't know because Vanderbilt's a private school, so we have no idea what the coaching salary is. He may have to take a pay cut to come to Vanderbilt, and that just doesn't seem
the only thing I could think would be he App State is used to playing teams that are above their pay grade. I think Sean Clark could come there and recruit and probably win some games. He's not going to turn the program
around. What teams does App State play above their pay grade?
Well, I mean, they've beaten several teams in the past.
I guess like the Michigan game
they had to play Georgia Southern every year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they played North Carolina and beat them last year. I mean, that's above their
right.
Or almost beat them, whatever it was. That's above
they
their
hung
pay grade.
With Virginia Tech. They played Georgia a couple years ago, hung with Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, okay. I mean, they play really good football against teams that are definitely outside what you would normally think App State would play, you know.
I honestly have no idea as far as the coaching search on Vanderbilt because I have no idea how much they care to even be relevant. I think they have a football team just because they don't know how to get rid of it.
I think you're probably right. Yeah,
and so I don't know if I don't know what they'll spend on the coach
because they don't want to leave the SEC in baseball or basketball really. So we
now if this is Vanderbilt baseball or basketball, you're getting pretty good coach. Who in their right mind, other than a high school coach, would take a Vanderbilt job?
Yeah,
no idea. I mean, you're going to have it for 3-4 years before you're fired too.
That's the reason I thought App State or someplace like that. You could at least get like your name on the radar to possibly go to an actual Power 5 as a top-tier assistant after the Vandy job. And maybe in some random way you turn into James Franklin and you get, like, a real job out of it, you know. But
Paul Johnson from Georgia Tech.
There's some people that have actually said that somebody with a triple option needs to go to Vandy. Maybe not Paul Johnson, but I think the Army guy had been mentioned. I don't remember what his name is.
Jeff Munkin.
Yes, Jeff Munkin. That's it. And I've seen that name thrown around. I've seen Jeff Munkin's name also thrown around for South Carolina. So who knows what's going to actually happen. That's going to do it for today's Knock on the Nation podcast show. JT, thoughts on Greg McGarrity retiring?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Happy trails. I was the same. I think they'll just hire his assistant, right?
He's going to be the interim. He's probably, based on how Georgia handles their business, probably the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, that's what
but I would like to see them go outside the box, and I want them to hire the best person for the job. Yeah. And what are the odds the best person for the job is the guy that's sitting right there? This is not a 7-Eleven. Let's please not run it like one.
True enough.
What about Goldberg?
I think Goldberg is up there. Herschel Walker is up there. Herschel Walker's former boss, Donald Trump, is up there. There's a few. Jeff Foxworthy, although he went to Tech, is a big Georgia supporter. So there's a few names up there that I really Ryan Seacrest, I think, would be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly a great face of the program. You can't do much prettier face than Ryan Seacrest.
Absolutely.
So. I mean, Josh Brown.
Josh Brown is one.
And that's going to do it for today's episode. Thanks for listening. Hey, fellas, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.